Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice Dyer in the Magnus Protocol. As part of the Magnus Archive's 10th anniversary, Rusty Quill is hosting a special Magnus Live show at the upcoming Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield. Join co-creators Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell on the 5th of July for a new iteration of our live show, Statement Begins, where you can hear fan-favourite statements such as Anglerfish, Red Live, and gain exclusive insights into the creation and history of the show straight from the creators themselves. You can buy your tickets now, including limited numbers of meet and greet tickets, from crossedwires.live or the link in the description of this episode.
Hi everyone, it's Kareem, the voice of Simon Fairchild from the Magnus Archives, or if you prefer, the Eternal Tavern Keeper from Chapter and Multiverse. Today, I'm here to tell you about Tin Can Audio Presents. Tin Can Audio Presents is a new podcast feed collating all of Tin Can's award-winning small batch audio fiction in one place. No more having to switch feeds or search the show notes for links. Featuring A Lovely Little Ghost Show, Middle Below, an experimental audio fiction concept album, The Tower, and a fantasy guide to profit and prosperity in the Dungeon Economic Model, and more. Each show features an introduction from Tin Can Audio's creator, David Devereaux. Tin Can Audio Presents is a home for experimental, boundary-pushing audio fiction in all its forms, with some exciting new stories on the way. Check out Tin Can Audio Presents wherever you get your podcasts, or visit rustyquill.com or tincanaudio.co.uk for more information. Have fun. See you later.
Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 195, Adrift.
Further can it be? One time I'm on my own and it's this domain where... Really? Now? Fine. Down in the depths, there is a cold beyond cold, an icy liquid chill that surrounds you, embraces you, pierces every inch of your naked gooseflesh skin with its needling touch, and gets inside your bones. The marrow frozen into nothing but agony. The shivers that rack your body are so intense that when you stretch your arms or kick your legs to swim, their movements are wild, uncontrolled, pushing you through the water in shuddering bursts. Water? Yes. You remember. The darkness around you. The forever of it all. Sometimes you forget just what it is that keeps you gripped so tight, suspended in place above nothing. But the thought comes to you quick enough when your lungs begin to burn. When did you last breathe? How much longer can you hold out? You consider for a moment opening yourself, simply letting it in, drowning. What are you so afraid of? But you know there is no release in it. You have been drowning as long as you can remember, and to invite the impossible cold into yourself, through your lungs and into your core, will bring no end to it, no relief. So you hold on, You hold out as long as you can, ignoring the agony, straining against the pressing darkness that has consumed you, and that implores you to consume it in return. There is air above you. You know that. Far, far above is the surface, the inky stillness of that silent barrier between water and sky, motionless as black glass, an obsidian expanse that stretches away. You could break that stillness, shatter its peace as you emerge, clawing, spluttering into the air. But the idea repels you. Your heart seizes at the thought and your blood shoots through with a cold that has nothing to do with the water. Why does your mind recoil and beg you to stay down, to hold fast in the darkness, to simply keep drowning? Just swim. That's the key. Pick a direction and swim until you find something. Someone. Land, perhaps. Or just another who is suffering as you are. Were you doing that already? Which way have you been going? The shivers that pass convulsively through your body make it so hard to tell for sure. And no light will condescend to reach down here. But still you press on. Try to keep moving through the pain, through the fear that attempts to paralyze you, to lock you in place as surely as the water that presses all around. How long have you been moving now? Seconds? Years? Your lungs still burn and beg you to succumb. Something moves. Something deep and old and larger than your frostbitten imagination can conceive. You cannot see it. You cannot hear it. But you feel it. The water shifts and pushes against you, spinning you around and tearing apart your thin idea of up and down. It is coming closer. Its smooth motion relentless as an iron bell tolling in the silence. It is close. Closer. It is here. You can feel its titanic bulk moving past, just below you, or perhaps above. It almost brushes against you, and despite the pressure of the water all around you, you cannot fight the frantic instinct to run. Your legs begin to move, flailing, and where your feet press against it, you feel its skin, rough and leathery. Strangely, almost dry despite the ocean through which it moves, and sharp enough that you feel it tear through the soft flesh on the soles of your feet. There is no pain, simply a wave of sickened nausea that passes up through your legs and into your stomach. You keep moving, limbs splaying in that strange pseudo-run, moving along it and begging for this thing to end. Sometimes your feet do not land upon its skin, but press on something else. Something smooth and hard that feels like bone or tooth. And then it is gone. Passed away from you and out into the expanse of dark and quiet cold. You cannot stay down here. The darkness hides terrible things and your whole chest screams for air. You take a moment and focus. Concentrate on the feeling of the water around you. The gentle pull that promises to be down. And then you begin to swim, a desperate crawl up through the black towards the vague hope of a surface. You do not know how long you have been swimming, how far you have climbed. But when you thrust your hand forward, you feel something change. It is a sudden release, a weightless freedom that seems so alien to you now. A new panic begins to overtake you, but it is too late, as your whole body rips through the unbroken surface of the sea and into open air. You feel dark water explode from your throat in something that is half screaming, half disgorging foul and icy liquid. And you take a breath. The air burns. Perhaps a new feeling, or perhaps one long forgotten. And you open your eyes. There is nothing. You look around you, neck twisting violently, trying to take it all in. But the ocean that stretches away is smooth against the reddened sky, unchanging. There is nothing else. No boat to save you. No land to make your escape. Not even another lost soul who shares your torments. Deep down, in the icy depths, you could imagine. You could hope. The darkness hides terrible things, but it could also hide salvation. You cannot know what is down there, but up here, it is laid out in such terrible, stark detail that there is nothing. You only know you are crying because the water on your face is warm enough that it feels like fire upon your cheek. And beyond that, up in the sky you feel it, looking down on you in something approaching delight, drinking in your despair and bitter dread, enjoying your misery and terror as you cast about for something that might be hope. It disgusts you, the waves of smug satisfaction that pervade your being as it stares at you. You cannot bear for it to see you like this. It makes you want to scream. But you know your screams are exactly what it wants. You choke it down and slip once again below the surface, into the concealing darkness of the freezing waters below, and you leave behind the nothing that waits above. Nothing. Not for me. There you are.
John?
Need a ride?
Sure. How did you find me? Oh, right. Obviously. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
What?
Nothing, I just... I was worried you might be upset if I interrupted your whole solar reflection thing.
It's fine. I mean, I would have at first, but honestly, there are a bunch more hells between me and London than I thought. I've been hoping for a friendly face for a while now.
Glad I could oblige.
Not that I couldn't make it on my own.
Of course.
You're not here to just give me a lift, are you?
I need your help.
You need my help. I thought you were basically a god now.
Annabelle Kane has Martin.
Shit.
Yeah.
When? How?
I think she's taking him to Hilltop Road, and I don't know. I needed someone I could trust, and I couldn't ask Georgie or Melanie to come all this way, so...
They're alive.
Yes, I...
Oh, it's fine. You can catch me up later. Let's focus on the Martin situation.
Right.
Can you, you know, see him?
No. Annabelle has a... She can block the eye. There's a camera. It's an artifact. It was protecting Salacious. Right. So, shortly after we left you, we found...
Magic camera that keeps them hidden. Got it.
Yeah.
So, they're at Hilltop Road.
Yes.
And you're sure, even if you can't see them?
Yes.
And you know the way?
Yes.
So what are we waiting for? Stop messing around. Let's go.
I'm not messing around. Right, of course.
It's lucky for me you needed help. I just got out of this weird mirror maze thing and then I was just on an island. I was seriously considering swimming.
That would not have been a good idea.
I don't remember there being a huge lake between London and Oxford.
That's because there wasn't one.
Right. I'm a bit over the whole horror geography thing at this point.
That makes two of us.
So I'm guessing it represents academic isolation or something. Maybe something to do with the dangerous unknown skimming to the surface. That kind of thing.
Maybe it just represents the feeling of sore arms.
Been rowing a while, then.
Hard to say. Certainly feels that way.
Yeah. You look like crap.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm trying to think of it as a metaphor.
And that helps?
Not at all. I'd be more than happy to let you take over, if you'd like.
No, I wouldn't want to cramp your style.
At this point, that's just about the only part of me that isn't cramping.
All right, give him here. Okay, so what do we know about Hilltop Road?
Not much.
Another blind spot?
No, it's... I could look at it, but it was... It was like a hole. You know that feeling you get when you look down from a great height, like you're being pulled into the abyss?
Kind of.
Well, it was like that. Normally, I can see it. See the webs and feel the power of the spider emanating from it, but as I would look, it's like my mind follows the paths of the web, the strands going down and out. It's quite disorientating.
So what? It's like a web-fast team-up?
Almost, but no, it's different. Something else. Either way, the important thing is that right now, I can't see it at all.
So we know they're there with the magic camera.
Exactly.
We're charging off into the unknown again. It's just like old times.
Old times wasn't actually all that long ago.
True. Feels it though, doesn't it?
Well, hopefully this one will go a bit better.
It'd be hard for it to go worse.
Yeah. So, how was the trip down? How are you doing?
Not great. I think I'm doing better having done it.
Yeah?
I always used to think I was helping people get what they deserved, you know? And then you see people suffering like this, with their deepest fears everywhere, and it's people who I'd say were good people or bad people, or... And there are avatars. Jailers and torturers, and some of them seem to hate it as much as the people they're guarding. But they still do it. I don't know. I guess it's hard to look back on what I did as all that different. Bit late for self-discovery though, right? After the world's ended?
We're still here.
True, but I don't really know what I even am anymore. Am I an avatar or what?
Technically, yes. I think you might have effectively inherited Daisy's role. That's very much the Hunt's thing, isn't it? You kill and then you become.
Yeah.
Sorry. What I mean is, Daisy moved through the domains,
tormenting you with the chase, but also spreading fear wherever she went and watching the results with hungry eyes. I think that's what you're doing now, travelling through, seeing places and feeding the eye with your observations and your revulsions.
So I'm what? Just a freelance watcher?
If you like. You'll probably end up with your own domain, eventually.
But if it's the hunt, what am I supposed to be chasing? All I've been doing is wandering around, hoping I might find something to do, somewhere to help. Ah. Damn it.
And there it is.
So catch me up. What's been happening? You found Melanie and Georgie?
They found me.
So I was right, then?
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, you do. Just after that meat factory, we were talking, and I said maybe you couldn't see them because Georgie couldn't feel fear, and Melanie had cut herself off from the eye. And then you said that...
I said it was plausible.
Yeah. But you did the face when you said it.
Fine. You were right.
So does this mean there are others?
What do you mean?
Like, they can't be the only ones like that, right? Maybe there are other people out there? Naturally immune, wandering around, or hunkered down?
Maybe. I mean, probably. But, yeah, well, I can't see them, can I?
Oh, yeah. Suppose not.
I also killed Helen.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that.
She was dangerous. And not like the others out there. It was only going to be a matter of time before...
No, I get it. Honestly, it's kind of a relief. How did Melanie take it?
Melanie?
Yeah, she and Helen were pretty tight back when...
What?
Back when you were in your coma.
I see. Well, I haven't told her yet, so I suppose I have that to look forward to when we get back.
If we get back.
That's not the part I'm worried about.
He'll be okay. I know a good way to take your mind off it.
I wouldn't want to cramp your style.
Huh.
Besides, we're almost there.
So we're just going to leave the boat.
Would it make you feel better to know that it's not technically real?
No.
Look, it's fine. We probably won't even be coming back this way.
If you say so. So, anyway, run this by me again. They're like a proper cult.
Ish. They all seem fairly normal, given the circumstances. Bit of a letdown in some ways.
But, like, they actually worship Melanie and Georgie.
Worship is maybe a bit strong. They just revere them.
Melanie must hate that.
That's the issue. I'd say it's as culty as it can be when the leaders are actively trying to stop it.
Oh, it must have been funny, though. Oh. Hang on, is that... That's the real sun, isn't it?
Yes. We've entered the,
John?
Sorry, I should have said the camera. It blocks my connection, and it's hard.
Are you okay?
It doesn't matter. Martin's here, and we need to find him.
Okay. How do we do that?
I don't know. We'll have to...
Shh. Do you hear that? There, in the spider web. Great.
It's not exactly breadcrumbs, but...
You're sure you're okay to do this?
I'll be fine.
Mr. Spider, once more.
The Magnus Archives is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was written by Jonathan Sims, produced by Lorianne Davis, and directed by Alexander J. New.
It featured Jonathan Sims as the archivist and Frank Voss as Basira Hussein.
To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/TheMagnusArchives. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Michael Sever, Ali Miller, Ben Milne, Quill, Mary Long, Angela Walters, Anna Piscadlo, Carolyn Thraves, Clara, Felix Kaiser, Jennifer Haskell, Skogel, Sophie ZBX, Alexandra the Posh, Ali Melody McGowan, Andrew Huffman, Anna Smidebush, Beck, Brenna Haney, Carly Baxter, Dez, Hannah D, Margaret Rigotti, Marianne, Paulina Cedric, Zero, Alexandretta Ravenor, Fantasy Costco, Kiera Brooke, Miranda Stevens, Petra, Roxy Hale, Stella Paradise, Ashley, Ashton Lucille Ezra Rose, Ben Maybe, Emma Mosen, Hannah McCarthy, Harry Barnard, Lady of the Labyrinth, Maggie Fotovatian Calderon, Michael Shelleyboy, Morgan #1997, Six Rudolph, Erisani, Amanda Marie Good, Armored Victory, Ceruleum. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice in the Magnus Protocol, and I'm here to tell you about From the Library of Jürgen Leitner, an upcoming novel available for pre-order right now at rustyquill.com/novel. Return to the world of the Magnus Archives in From the Library of Jürgen Leitner, an official prequel novel written by Nebula, World Fantasy and Aurora award-winning author Premi Mohammed, with the help of the Magnus Archives' own writer and lead voice, Jonathan Sims. From the Library of Jürgen Leitner explores an infamous organization from the Magnusverse for the first time, the perilous private library of the enigmatic collector Jürgen Leitner, where occult books are guarded and researched at a fatal cost. Leitner's library keeps the dangers of these books in check and their would-be readers safe, or so Leitner claims. For two of Leitner's employees, the risks are worth it. For Hugh Franklin, the library is a place to belong. For Sebastian Everett, the library is an opportunity to indulge arcane ambitions. Though their 10 years at the library were years apart, Hugh and Sebastian's stories unfold in parallel, and their footsteps echo down the same eerie aisles, caught in a web spun long before either ever heard the name Jürgen Leitner. Will they find a way out, or will the library consume them before it's too late? From the Library of Jürgen Leitner will be published on October 27th, 2026, and is available for pre-order now. Visit rustyquill.com/novel for more information. That's rustyquill.com/novel.